Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, but I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation, my way of life, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Speak to us, we pray. Bless us in your word. Open it to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, and it really starts from what we were looking at last week, but in this chapter, Paul is emphasising that the gospel which he preaches, and which he was preaching, is the true gospel. He warns them about other gospels, but he says the one that he is preaching, it is the true gospel. The gospel that he preached to them, the gospel that he preached since his conversion, was the true gospel. And it is the true gospel because Paul received it by revelation. There was no area where it could be contaminated by other people's influences. He received it by revelation. He did warn them about, as we saw last week, another gospel. Because those had come from Judea, brethren had come from Judea, and had spread this message in Galatia, which as we saw last time is what is in, was the middle part of what is now called Turkey, particularly the southern province part of it. Brethren had come, and they told them, yes, the Christian faith is by faith, but it's only for the Jews. And if you want to become a Christian, you've got to become a Jew first. You've got to be circumcised, and then, by faith, you can be saved. It's the gospel for the Jews. And Paul had to fight against that, to say, no, the gospel is by grace. Through faith are you saved. Amen. And there are others that were coming, you see. And if you read Galatians chapter 2 and verses 11 to 16, you'll find there came a time when Paul even had to, later on in his life, rebuke Peter for Judaizing influences. When he had communion and fellowship with believers who were not Jewish, but when other Jewish Christians came, he withdrew himself from fellowship with those other non-Jewish believers. Paul says it's wrong. And he said it was so bad that even Barnabas was led astray by the dissimulation. In verse 11, which we started with tonight, I make known to you, this I certify, I'm making known to you, brothers, that the gospel which was evangelized by me, we've got the word preached here, the gospel which was evangelized by me is not according to man. In verse 12, he points out that he had not received it from man, or you could actually translate it, he had not received it from a man. No man had taught him the gospel, nor had he been taught it, except through the revelation that Jesus Christ has given him. Amen. He'd received the good news by revelation. Yes, Ananias had come, and no doubt shared with him, and baptized him. But Paul said the gospel that he received To which he responded in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, but by revelation. Amen. It's from God. By revelation. It's very important. You see, some years ago, I think they've fallen into disfavour now, but some years ago there were many modernist scholars of the Bible that said the true gospel was the gospel that Jesus shared with his disciples, which it was. But Paul messed it all up.
Yeah.
Paul has got a lot to answer for. No, Paul received the gospel by revelation from God. And it's very important for us to understand that. And to understand that those who would criticise how the gospels were written, you know the idea? Oh yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, whoever wrote the gospels, because they're not always sure who wrote the gospels either, these doubters. But whoever wrote the gospels, they wrote from faded memories. Things they wanted to remember. They blotted out the bits that weren't very nice and they sweetened it all up. No. It was by revelation. And really, the gospel that Paul received was a tremendous check, then and now, for us, concerning the gospel that we read through the gospels. It's the same. By grace, through faith. Paul received his revelation direct from God. Not from the apostles, not from other men, but direct from the Lord. And it was the same, he found out, as the gospel that the apostles were preaching. Oh yes, Peter had got a bit sidetracked by his Judaistic influences, but the gospel that they had was the pure gospel of salvation by grace through faith. You see, Peter, when he was writing his epistle, Peter assures us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, myths, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And here, you see, here's their revelation, Peter and James and John, who were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." It came by revelation. Amen. Our faith must and can only stand in that revelation that God has given. God reveals his word to us. God reveals his promises to us. And having received the revelation, we can have faith in that word of God. We have faith in that revelation. And the word, concerning the gospel, the word is supremely Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us that God has in these last days spoken to us in a Son. Not quite the Authorised Version translation. God has in these last days spoken to us in a Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Peter received his revelation from God because he was eyewitness. He was an eyewitness of his majesty. The apostles received a divine revelation concerning the gospel. Paul received a divine revelation concerning the gospel. The gospel that he proclaimed, he got from Jesus before he ever consulted with the apostles. And that was the gospel that he preached. And in verse 13, he was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in verse 13, he talks about his past life in Judaism. He says, "You have heard of my manner of life in time past in Judaism." The Greek doesn't say the Jews' religion. It says, "En to Judaismo." What's he say? He says, "You have heard of my way of life in time past in Judaism. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." You see, Judaism, even today, Judaism is Phariseeism.
Yeah.
Even the moderate forms of Judaism are Phariseeism.
Yes.
is added to the word of God. Again and again and again. And Paul's zeal was for Pharisaism. He declares that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's brought up in the strictest group of the Pharisees. Above measure, he persecuted the church of God and wasted it, ravaged it. Why? Because that's what the Pharisees were doing. That's what they were teaching. That these people, the blasphemers, these people needed to be put down. And he persecuted the church of God and ravaged it. And this idea of he profited in the Jews' religion, really the word means he was advancing more than others in this way. You see, in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we read about what Paul was doing. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he obtained letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." This is Paul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. There was nothing timid or tame about this scourge that was going on. In Acts chapter 22, it's his testimony again. Acts 22, he's honest about how he had been, in verses 4 and 5. "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, and also the high priestess bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." In chapter 26, testimony again for Agrippa. Verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." What? "When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." And we know that Paul was there, consenting to the death of Stephen. "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme." Wow. He compelled them to blaspheme. "And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." And Paul says, "I profited in Judaism," not the Jewish religion, "I profited in Judaism above my equals, above my contemporaries in my own nation." What does he mean, "I profited"? It really means that he advanced more, he drove forward more, he outstripped his contemporaries in the zeal he had for this persecution. He was the top man for it. He had the reputation for it. Because he was exceedingly more zealous of what? He was exceedingly more zealous of the traditions of my fathers. That's Judaism. That's Pharisaism. The traditions of the fathers, the traditions of the elders, above the word of God. You know, there's a danger today of pursuing and investigating Judaism to parallel and to get light on Christianity. Because it's not biblical, it's Phariseeism. We have to understand that in Matthew 15. See, understand that when it comes to Judaism, we're not smart studying Judaism when we should be studying the Word of God. You see, there are no prayer shawls in the Old Testament.
No.
It comes from something in the Old Testament, but there were no prayer shawls. The prayer shawl was something substituted for what God told them to do. They didn't want to do that, they wanted something else. There are no tefillin boxes on the hidden arm that Jewish people wear when they pray. Jewish men wear when they pray. So in the Bible, there's something about writing on the head and the heart and so on, but it's what they've substituted for what God told them to do in a spiritual way. There are no laws about keeping meat and milk separate in the Old Testament. There's not a word. There is a commandment, three times it appears, twice in Exodus, twice in Deuteronomy, upon which it's all based. You must not spoil a kid, a baby goat, in its mother's milk. It's nothing to do with keeping meat and milk separate. is doing things decently. You see, Abraham, in chapter 18, had a visit, didn't he? In Genesis 18, had a visit from three men. It was the Lord and two angels that come to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, Abraham, he made a meal for them. He brought butter and milk and meat, and he gave it to them, and they ate it. You say, oh, it's before the law. Well, they're saying that this law comes from God. Well, if it came from God and should still be observed, he wouldn't have done it before either, because that was the Lord himself that was there. In Matthew 15, let's look at verse 6 and 9. Maybe. But the Pharisees were saying to Jesus, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They wash not their hands when they eat bread. He said, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Here's the tradition of the fathers. And Jesus said, why are you transgressing? Why are you transgressing the commandment of God by your tradition? God commanded, say, honour your father and mother. And he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever says to his father or his mother, it is a gift, it is korban, it is set apart to God. But whatsoever you might be profited by me, and honour not his father and mother, he should be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites. You've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That's what they've done. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. There it is again, the tradition of the fathers. It's not an amplification or an explaining or an exposition of the word of God and of the law of God. It is against God. You've not been redeemed with corruptible things, a silver and gold, from your vain way of life, received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, by grace, through faith, we might add. And in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish myths. Fables, it says in the Authorised Version. Not giving heed to Jewish myths and commandments of men that turn from the truth. That's what these traditions do. They turn from the truth. It says in verse 10 of Titus 1. Verse 10, if you go back up to verse 10. It says, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, the Jews, the Pharisees, the traditions of the Jews. So, verse 13 says, rebuke them sharply. Don't give heed to those Jewish myths. Trouble today is, of course, that we might think we're 2,000 years away from these sort of conditions and problems, but the trouble today is that over the centuries, there have built up a humongous amount of Christian, so-called, church traditions. Just as the Jews built up a whole body of traditions of their fathers, so in the churches, and the church fathers, as they might like to be called, they've built up traditions of men, commandments of men. They bring people into bondage. They bring them to death and destruction. There is no life in them. Paul says, I was exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And then verse 15, but, that's how I was, but, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. But there's a little bit that comes in between. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That word separated carries with it the idea of fencing off, making a boundary to possess it. It's the idea of he set me apart. Let's read it again with set me apart. Instead of the word in the Authorised Version, separated. When it pleased God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. In time, Paul came to know the Lord and his calling from the situation that developed on the Damascus Road and thereafter. But Paul says, that was God's purpose for me from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. You don't know what God had purposed for you until you begin to walk in response to his word and his revelation by faith. You see in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. You know, we can marvel at God's purposes being revealed. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before," it's going a step further back actually, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and appointed you a prophet unto the nations." In time, it seems as though we've made the decisions. But this was God's purpose for us. There's a calling that God has for us, which he had from before we were in the womb. And when we were in the womb, it's all of God. Isn't it wonderful to come into in line with his purposes, his promises? You know, Psalm 139 has got a lot about what the Lord knew about us when we were in the womb. We were all our members were written in his book. Praise the Lord. I like that old hymn. "I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him." Hallelujah. He loved us before we even knew him. His purpose is for us before we even knew him. Oh, in Acts 15 and verse 18 it says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the age." And it pleased God, says Paul, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. He knew me, he called me by his grace, and it pleased God to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, among the nations, among the Gentiles. An interesting little phrase there. To reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Well, it doesn't actually use the word preach there at all. It actually says that I might evangelize him. He revealed his Son in me that should announce him as the good news. Announce him, evangelize him as the good news. Who? Jesus. Jesus. Where? Among the nations. Among the Gentiles. You see, it's all of God. It's all of God. When we're preaching the gospel, when we're sharing the gospel, what we're really doing is we're preaching Christ, the good news. Oh, what a change took place in Paul's life so quickly after that meeting with the Lord on the road to Damascus. And when God revealed his Son in me, that I might preach him, that I might preach Christ as the good news among the heathen, he said, immediately. He's emphasising the immediately because he wants you to know that what he got was by revelation, and nobody, not even Ananias, had any input into what he understood and received about the gospel. It all came from his meeting with Jesus on that road to Damascus. Oh yes, Ananias came and told him what to do. "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." There was no input from anybody else. He's conveying here to the people in Galatia who have been contaminated by Judaistic influences, by work. You've got to do works, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to become a Jew, you've got to be obedient to the law. Not by works, by grace. And there was no way, says Paul, that anybody else came in between me and this revelation from the Lord. Immediately. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, I didn't go and talk to them about it. I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So after 3 years, with no input from any others or from the apostles, after 3 years he went up to see Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. And he also saw James, the Lord's brother, but none of the others. Basically he's saying there was no mass input into me from the apostles of the gospel that they were preaching. What I received, I had 3 years ago before I went to see them. And the things which I write to you, behold, before God, I lie not. He's giving an oath here that what he's saying is the truth. And afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Well, Syria brings us to where he is in Damascus, and Cilicia was up further north, up to Tarsus, where Paul came from originally. And that's where Paul was operating, in those areas, away from where the apostles were operating down in Judea, in Samaria maybe. And it was unknown unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. They'd heard only that he which persecuted us in the past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So there was no passing on to Paul of an apostolic tradition or an apostolic doctrine. What he had received, he'd received from the Lord. He'd received it and lived in it for 3 years. Saw Peter and John, not much time for them to add or take away from what he'd received. And then he was in Syria and Cilicia, operating there. And then in chapter 2, which we haven't read, but we just nip over into for a minute. Then in chapter 2 he says, and then 14 years after, how long, Paul? 14 years after, he's been preaching the gospel, but 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Well, his major works are still to come, but he came up with Barnabas to Jerusalem. How did he come up? Here it is again. I went up by revelation. Communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Paul had been preaching among the Gentiles. Jesus. The only way of salvation. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In chapter 2 and verse 6, he's talking about the apostles. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat, in confidence, added nothing to me. Same gospel. He'd not missed out on anything. He'd done it by revelation. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision to the Gentiles was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision to the Jews was to Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me to all the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, or Kephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcision. When they heard the gospel that Paul was preaching, it was the same as the gospel they were preaching, they gave the right hands of fellowship. We're in agreement. Nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away. Paul got it by revelation. And the gospel as we know it from the Bible was not the feeble work of apostles struggling to remember what Jesus had said to them. That's how some of the modernists put it. Or they put together how they thought it was, you know. No, no, no. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus gave to the apostles his promise. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's comprehensive. That's miraculous. But the disciples experienced and heard all that Jesus said and did. But Jesus gave them the promise that they would not forget, because the Holy Spirit would bring everything to their remembrance. Therefore, the gospel that they had was the same gospel that Paul had, that God had revealed to him. In the mouth of two witnesses, every word's established. You've got the apostolic witness, you've got the Pauline witness. It's the same gospel. And to those who would be Judaizers, trying to introduce the idea that you've got to become Jewish, no, no, no. What God gave to me, says Paul, was not my invention, it was God given. Therefore, he received from the apostles the right hand of fellowship. They did not say to him, well, we're preaching the same gospel, but you've got to tell your Gentiles that they've got to become Jews first. No, they gave the right hand of fellowship. They're in perfect agreement that this gospel is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul wrote to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, he referred to the gospel that he preached as the gospel of God. It was the gospel of God that had been given to him by revelation. Just like to conclude by reading verses 11 and 12 again. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or not after a man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of that gospel by Jesus Christ is the gospel which we have today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not of works. By grace, through faith. Praise the Lord. Amen.